You got your Bible, James 5. I appreciate the good song, James 5. I'm glad, thank God, that's what it awoke and the cry of his own children. Amen. I won't talk to you tonight. Something God's been working in my heart. And I don't know how long I'll preach. It might not be too long, but I'm going to preach what's on me. And let it be. And God is helping us tonight. Now, I believe in James 5, in verse 16, I'll read three verses. The Bible said, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now he's talking about Elijah here, the man of God, and he came on the scene, the Tishbite. He said it wasn't going to rain, and it didn't, and it rained when he prayed again. But I'm interested tonight on the thought of the fervent prayer of a righteous man. What does that mean? I want to know tonight, what does it mean in the fervent prayer of a righteous man? Does it mean what we do here? Does it mean what you do in your prayer closet? What does it mean? It said that it avails much. Notice that. It does avail. That sounds like an overcoming victory in prayer. It really does. If you say we availed, then there was something you availed over. And there's something in this tonight that God's talking to me about. And I don't know the Holy Ghost will have to communicate it because I can't. I can only tell you what I feel tonight in my heart and what this means when we go to God in prayer. Now, Elijah was a student of that. He was a prophet of God. He was a man like us, according to the word here. He's in passions like we are, and prayed earnestly. I like that word, earnestly. And you know, the night, brother, prayer is not just a talking, even though that's part of it. It's something tonight that's in you. There's something about praying and getting a hold of God. Now, them terms is true. You do get a hold of God. Amen. You've heard the old term, getting a hold of the horns of the altar. And surely that's digging in with God and praying. I don't understand all that thing. I don't know everything about prayer, but I do know this, that God hears the prayer of a righteous man. When he cries from his heart. A prayer must be fervent, and he says fervent, the effectual fervent prayer. So there, as he said, this prayer has effect. In fact, in the day of Elijah, he spake and God did it. No doubt God put it in the man of God's heart to do it, but God did it. Now I believe tonight, and I want to get where I'm going with this here tonight. When Elijah was praying, God's man, Elijah prayed with great fervency. Elijah prayed with much heart. And we find that in the book of 1 Kings 18. Look with me there, if you will, on the date Elijah prayed when the prophets of Baal had prayed. Or they didn't pray, they called on Baal, which wasn't no prayer, it was dead God. But we find here tonight, thank God that Elijah here, after he repaired the altars that they tore up and put the stones and the water around it. And then this was the prayer of Elijah. We count it one time to be 63 words. The Bible said in verse 36 of 1 Kings 18, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." He's making this prayer. He's a praying. Thank God to God. And then he said this. He said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back, heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God.'" Amen. So Elijah had a very fervent prayer here. It wasn't a long prayer, but it was fervent. I'm not saying tonight that a
whispered prayer don't have effect. I'm not saying tonight that just praying in general in your own voice don't have effect. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, and you might not agree, it's all right. When a man's really praying, he's getting in a higher gear than that. When you really get in with God, you're going to dig in and you're going to get in with Him. And the prayer, there is a prayer, boys, there's a prayer gear that you get in from the innermost parts of your belly and cry out to God. It is agonizing with God. Amen. Too many prayers today so soft, and they've got to the place now that it's just general. And Elijah wasn't a general prophet. He was the prophet of God. And our prayers has got to be something. And can I say this tonight? I've been studying a verse, asked these brothers here about it, and talking about taking the kingdom of God by force. And God give us the power within us. I'm not commanding God tonight. I've got better sense than that. But I will say this. God wants us to take it. God wants us to take it. When they was going in Canaan, they had to take it. Thank God. God done give them the victory, but they had to take it. We've already got the victory, but we got to take it. You've got to take it. We're living below level tonight. We're living in the Christian life, and we're living below level. We got enough power in here tonight, thank God, to pray through and see the God of heaven do something. But we just refuse to give our hearts and lives to God and dig in and get a hold of the altar and get a hold of God, because God's the way He is. And God says, if you want, what do you think He meant when Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you? Thank God, there's a continual asking. There's a continual, I use the word begging or digging in. And I believe what He's saying here is a fervent prayer. Can I tell you tonight, the devil ain't going to give up on you. He's going to wrestle with you. He wrestled with Daniel about the prayer he prayed. And he'll wrestle with you tonight. And brother, I'm telling you this. If you're not willing to give yourself for prayer and time with God, we're not going to have much. We've got to get with God. We've got to get in the prayer room. And we've got to agonize with Him. We spend more time talking about the solution and knowing the solution. And the solution, and I thank God, is to dig in with God and get to praying in the prayer of God and agonizing with Him and staying with Him. And if God does something in your heart and you laugh, thank God that you know in your heart God's heard you. Amen. That's a veiling prayer. Now I'll say this tonight. It gets rough sometimes. And God's not a sissy. All this stuff is common stuff today. Just about causes God to choke, probably. That we come to church and we go through the rituals and the same traditions and all that. And ain't nobody hungry for God. Nobody's hungry for the prayers of God's people, that they have a burden. Nobody's willing to get in and really pray. Now I'll say this again, and I say it in love in my own heart. There ought to be some crying out to God when we get on the altar. I mean, that's a sad deal, friend, that people won't even cry out to God. I remember when I got them old prayer meetings and everybody's crying out to God. They weren't trying to listen to what one another said, but they was just crying out to God. I mean, brother, you could hear their voices vaulted, crying out to God. God don't want silent prayers here. We're not praying. Hey, God wants you to talk to Him. And God, we're not. There's no possible way, unless you're in the bitterness of soul like Hannah was, when she got down to pray to God about having Samuel, amen, and God knew her prayer. She was in such heaviness that she couldn't even utter a word. The groanings, praise God, He called on not long ago. I talked about the Holy Ghost, and my friend intercedes for our behalf. Oh, the groanings of prayer, amen, you get down and oh God knows what you're crying about, and you're just getting in with Him, amen. That's right. Where's the passion at today? Oh, my friend, we've left it behind us. We've learned the language of Christianity. We've learned the language. Thank God, if you call somebody that ain't in this church, thank God, but I've heard it before. They pray the same thing every time. Amen, brother. We ought not be like that. There ought to be certain things, thank God, that we have on our heart that we pray about. Amen. There are certain things we do agonize with God about, that we get underneath that thing and pray and get hold of God. And that's what Elijah's saying. Thank God, the effects so fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. That's right. It's something to it. It ain't just a loudness of voice, but it is a cry from the heart. It's a burden that, thank God, is on you. Thank God, when God gives you something and you have a desire for God to do something, it ain't going through church. It's going to God in earnestness and effectual, fervent praying. Amen. No matter what the need is, friend, you wouldn't listen. If you had a need in your family and if your child was dying sick, it wouldn't take you long to get on the altar somewhere and cry out to God. I mean verbally and weep tears and ask God to move on your behalf and the behalf of that child that was sick. Thank God, do you think that woman that come to Jesus about her own daughter and it was vexed with the devil? Amen. You think Jairus? Thank God, when Jesus, you think Jesus went in that room and had a little old prayer? Jesus went there and spake, brother. He spake with a loud voice. Amen. When he cried to Lazarus, he said with a loud voice, come to Lazarus, come forth. Amen, brother. I'm just saying, and you can take what you want to about it. When they cast out devils in that Bible, and God's people did cast out devils, he gave them power of the devil. He told them not to rejoice in it, but he did give them the power over it. Brother, that wasn't, thank God, a little 1, 2, 3. Them men had to have the power of them. They had to command the devil in the name of Jesus to leave that person. They had something in their hearts. They had the power of God on their lives. And they had the power of God over the devils in them people. And brother, they saw devils cast out. Amen. Let me say something. I go to the county jail. The other week I was at a cell, a single cell, and this man's in there, and I give him a gospel tract. He's shaking like a leaf. He's out of his head. Why don't I have the power to cast that devil out of that man? Why don't you have the power to cast out devils? You do. You do have them. Why it never exemplified? You know why? I'm going to tell you why what I'm preaching on tonight. Everything's just general now. Listen, aren't you tired of this? Aren't we just tired of this going through the motions and just being in generality instead of just saying, hey, God, I come, I want something from you. God, when I go to my prayer room, I'm going to believe you and I want you to unctuize me to pray in the Spirit. I want to see the hand of God move. Amen. I just don't want to go through the motions of religion. I understand and know that we can mention people in prayer. God said that. Paul said that. I make mention of you in my prayer. There's a time for that, but there's a time of agonizing. There's a time to get down to business. There's a time to cry out to God. There's a time to get a hold of Him. Hey, God, friend, He said it stopped the rain. Amen. And then he prayed again and God gave the rain. Amen. Listen, the best remedy for anything tonight is two people agreeing in prayer. Amen. You believe that? Touching anything in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Why don't we do it? I'm said we. Amen. There's enough husbands and wives in here tonight to say by the grace of God or two Christians that could get down and kneel at the couch. Thank God and bow and pray. Amen. And believe God. Amen. I've seen people touched by God like that. I've seen people healed like that. I've seen people saved because church people got a burden and got underneath it and cried out to God. Is these men that their wives come to church? Is these men worth that? Is these men worth us? Thank God getting a burden and praying under and begging God for their soul. Thank God, instead of just going through the motions, playing games at the house of God, have no burden when they come in, just go through the motions. Amen. I know God's got to do it, but God chose us to do it. And God chose us to pray and call on His name and be honest about it. Thank God, friend. Amen. This is a church. This isn't a large club. This isn't a social club. This is the church. And God says, I give the church power, and if we don't exemplify the power, then it's our fault because God's already given it to us. And He said, the effects of fervent prayer, righteous men obey the much. And until we get to doing it, we ain't going to see much. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'm talking to myself now. I ain't preaching to you. But it's on me, it's on me, it's on me. What is it, preacher? I don't understand. It's like grabbing a hold of God. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to understand it. I just know this. I know that there is a place that, I won't say to you, man. There's a place when we gather on the altar and pray, thank God every once in a while to get a hold of God. It ain't getting up here and just moving your lips. It's a sad thing. Where's Tristan? There he is. What grade are you in? Fourth? It's a sad thing when a fourth grader outprays a man. That's sad. And thank God for a form of better praying. Amen. But brother, I'm telling you, it's sad. It's just sad. I've taught that and preached y'all that, and I know that my personality might be different. God help the personality of the Holy Ghost is the same. Amen. I mean, He's got to come out of you. The flow of God got to come out of you. Every once in a while, He'll hear your voice. Amen. God help. You want the church to die? It'll die right here.
Yeah.
I swear to die. It'll die right here. It'll die right here. That's where it's going to die. That's where it'll die. It ain't going to die. It can die from here. It'll die from here because I'm not there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It'll die from here because you're not there, neither because I need the prayers of God's people. That's right. I ain't preaching not to try to get you to come to altar and make some kind of show. That ain't the purpose. God help you. You know I don't like show business. I hate religious hypocrisy and religious cliches and religious talk and all that. That ain't what I'm doing it for. I'm trying to get the Holy Ghost to move in you through what God showed me that it's time to dig in. It's time to get serious about this thing. It's time to say, hey, God's more important than anything else. And them people dying and going to hell is more important than what we're doing. Amen. I mean, where's the burden? Where's the burden? What about them little children that's coming up in church? Little boy right there, what are they going to feel? Hey, listen, friend. I know it matters what a man preaches. Sure it does. It matters how a man preaches. I know it does. But the power got to be from praying. It's got to be. I'm preaching to myself. God help, we can empty the church and I can preach this myself and repent because I need to repent of it. I'm not doing it the way I ought to. God's awakened my heart. He's saying you got to get a hold of me. Hey, God, I give you the gift of salvation. I've taught you how to pray, and I'm in you when I pray. But you gotta have to go further. You got to dig in. Hey God, you gotta get fervent this time. Have the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man, not just any man, but a righteous man. Had a righteous man because Christ, and because he loved Jesus, because he desires the will of God. The devil's trying to stop us tonight. Amen. In English, hey friend, this is more than just being friendly. Praise God. It's just something we've got to have. And without it, somebody, my friend, might not need to see the Lord and see the power of God in the church. Amen. You know what Don Anderson told me when he preached here? He said, man, that was a good service. I ain't been in one like that in a while. And I thought it was a good service. We've had better. You know what he said? He said, it's evident somebody's been praying. You know what that did to me? It convicted me, to be honest with you. Because I thought, man, I surely ain't prayed the way I ought to. I never looked at it and said, I really am because I prayed. No, it's because God had mercy. And I believe, I'll tell you why I thank God bless His church, because we accept God for who He is. He is who He is. He's on the throne. We're not. And I'll tell you, we accept that. We accept the fact of who God is in the church. God will move like that when you get out of the way and quit trying to tell God what to do. And say, God, now I want you to do what you want to do. It's your church. I'm your people, God. And I accept your sovereign will being done in my life. And I know, God, you put us here for a purpose, and that's to worship Christ. And God, whatever you want, we don't want to hold nothing back. We want the Holy Ghost to work and move. God will work in a place like that. But I'm telling you what, the power source of that's got to be stronger than what it is for sinners to get under conviction, because they don't get under conviction the way they did. They do, but it's the same way, but the prevalent power of God's not like it was 30 and 40 years ago when some of you got saved by the grace of God. When I got saved by the grace of God, it seemed like there was more revelation, understanding by the Holy Ghost in a church service. You could preach salvation and these people get our conviction. They'd come get saved. Amen. But in this day and time, it seems like there's more resistance. There's more. It's harder. Hearts are harder. And it seems like there's more things that keep people in their sin and hold them back from getting right with God. And the only thing's going to break you, that's the power of God. It can't be done by the flesh. It can't be done by the flesh and the psychology and education. It's got to be done by earnest and effectual praying of God Almighty. And the only way it's got to be done is we do it. Amen. Brother Milby, he was going to write a book on prayer. I told you this. You've heard him say it. He was a praying man. You know, he went to the woods and took him a piece of paper. And on the paper, he said, now tell me what to write, Lord. And he said, do it. That's all I want you to write. Do it.
Do it. What's about prayer? Do it. Just do it. Amen. Do it. See, God's so merciful and good to us. He answers our thoughts before we ever pray sometimes. There's nothing wrong with getting down in conversation with God. But there are going to be times in our life that we do dig under and get a hold of the hand of God that makes a change in people's lives and makes a change in a church and makes changes in our lives that God will take and work through. Amen. I'm talking about agonizing with God. I'm talking about God, a man hearing prayer. I mean God hearing our prayer from effectual praying. And he prayed. You see, he prayed. Oh God, he prayed. He prayed. Have you ever got to praying and you got in so deep that you couldn't quit? And you just couldn't quit. The holy flow of God got so deep in your heart and you got through and you just felt like you had to get back down. And the flowing of the Spirit was so real in your life and you prayed 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 and God says pray and God says ask and it shall be receiving. Knock and take some action. Amen. He said knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. Hey, God don't quit the first time. He don't pull the door open. Hey, ask and it shall seek and you shall find. Seeking takes a little effort. You might not find it right away, but seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Thank God he will hear the whisper of a prayer. He will hear the prayer. Thank God of a little boy, a little girl, a church member, a son of God, or daughter of God, where they're just going down the road and they need a touch of God. They got something on their heart. They're burdened down. And they just cry to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And God does. I'm not saying every prayer has to be like that, but brother, there's got to be some of it. If you got to stop the rain, if you got to call on rain to come, if you got to see people saved, if you got to see people changed, if we got to see the hand of God move, it's got to be. Got to be. Your eye, two eyes tonight's looking on one of the laziest men that ever lived, probably sometimes. You say, you're the preacher. That's right. I'm being honest. It's a whole lot easier to sit on the couch and get on your knees and agonize. Pray is work. When you really pray, it's work. It really is. Amen. See, I believe God can heal people. I believe God gets men to pray over people and see them healed. I believe God calls the elders of the church to pray over people, anoint them, blow, and God heals them. I've seen it done. Effectual, fervent prayer. Why did he put that in James 5 when he talked about that? He talked about praying over the sick. People's not only sick physically, they're sick in other ways. They're sin sick. Amen. See, when people come to the church, God, I don't want it to leave. I don't want it to leave. I don't want to leave, Brother Dennis. I don't want it to leave. I don't want the presence of God to leave. I don't want people that used to come in and say, and you know, not long ago, people said, I felt God when I come in. I don't want that to leave. I don't want to leave. I don't want it to leave. I don't want to learn something and live by just my own brain of what I've been taught. I want to live from the heart. Amen. I want to be humble. Pride kills us. Kills us. Kills us. Amen. Don't want to ever think I'm better than somebody else. You don't ever want to think I can pray better, preach better. That's crazy. You don't do it. God's the only one who can do it. You got to get humble, friend. You got to get humble. You can't say, well, that man there, I know the Bible better than him. Oh, that's sinful. That's sinful. It ain't the Bible, you know. You better know Him. Amen. You better have a relationship with Him. He better know your voice tonight. Amen. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You got a burden tonight. You got some on your heart tonight. Thank God, take it to Him. Amen. I'd ask Him tonight, God, give me some unction. Give me unction in my praying. Amen. You think when Elijah prayed that 63-word prayer, you just think he just said it like it wasn't nothing? No, he said it with an effect that God did it. Amen. God did it. And I think that's what the Lord told me tonight. And I'm preaching to myself, really, because it come to me before it come to you. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've done it. I know what it is. But I'm just telling you, our old flesh don't want to do it. They'd rather have a little old prayer for about 5 minutes and go back and sit down and eat and drink your coffee, whatever you do, and just pray a prayer like that, and there ain't no power much getting to people's heart. That's good. I need it. I mean, I appreciate you mentioning my name. Surely, I'd thank God if you mentioned my name every morning. That'd be a blessing just to mention my old name. But somebody got to get underneath and pull into God and agonize and cry out to God and break this stuff, man. This old religion is killing us today. We've been in this thing a while. We've been here a long while. We know the ropes. We know the language. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's further than that. Got to get further than that. You got to get where God's at. Amen. I mean, let's get in where God's at. That's right, ain't it? Oh, Lord. Every once in a while, tears ought to come out of our eyes when we pray. Ought to come out of our eyes when we read our Bible. You know why the Bible's not as stirring in our heart? We're not praying. Our heart's not where it ought to be to get that when we read the Word of God. We're so attacked by the world and the devil, man. It's like he puts his hands around my throat sometimes, and I don't say this in the wrong way, but about forces me to do things that I know that God ain't in. And it's an oppressive spirit, friend. He's a Satan, man. He's a devil, a liar, an accuser of the brethren. And he'll do anything he can to harden your old heart toward God and keep you from the prayer life. Brother, you better hear what I'm saying tonight. Prayer keeps your heart soft. I can't preach enough to keep your heart soft. You can't preach enough to keep my heart soft. Hey, God, you got to stand in the presence of God to keep your heart soft. And Brother S. died by the Holy of Holies. Amen. Pray. What did Jude say? He said, building up your most holy faith. What did he say? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What is that? What is praying in the Holy Ghost? If somebody asked you that, you said, what's that mean over there in Jude? Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What's it mean? What's he meaning there? Do you pray in the Holy Ghost every time you pray? Pray in the name of Jesus? Do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Do I pray in the Holy? What's that mean, preacher? Well, I think it's having the lead of God in your heart, knowing the power of God in your heart, and following His lead and praying in God, getting in where God's at, what I'm preaching on. It's further than lay me down to sleep and protect me today, and that's fine. I pray that too before we ever leave the house. He has too many a time. There's general prayers. There's prayers in the Bible that they pray on a regularity. But there is a really praying effectually. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, better than mine. I don't know about you. You can pray the way you want to. Probably in the Bible, most of the time, the Jews probably prayed standing up some, with their hands lifted to heaven, like this. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven when he prayed. Now, Daniel prayed on his knees. They said James was a praying man. They said he called him camel knees, is what history says. That's what they said. The posture is not the key. The heart is. I like my knees. I like to get on my knees. I like to pray in the car. Pray in, it don't matter. Pray everywhere. I like to. I got a chair there. And I like to get on my knees. And I like to bury my head in that chair. And just go pray. Cry out to God. Stay with Him until I feel the touch. And I feel His hand. And I feel His voice. In my heart. Amen. I wish I need to do it more. But you can pray in your car. You can get in touch with God in the vehicle. You can get in touch with God anywhere. In the shower. Don't matter where you're at. He's a touch in your heart. Amen. Listen. I'm going to tell you this. It'll work if we get to it. It'll work. Amen. That's what's on my heart tonight. I appreciate you hearing me. Let's stand tonight.